Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the prayers in the Bible. We thank you for teaching us as we review these, look at these, and today, Lord, as we continue on in the third long prayer in Nehemiah, the prayer when he was actually governor. Guide us now in this time as we will see this beautiful summary of praise and adoration to you, also the history of Israel to a degree, and culminating in a commitment to be true to you and make a covenant to you. So guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at this prayer of Nehemiah, you know, last 2 weeks ago we had the prayer while he was a cupbearer, and then last week we had, and the cupbearer was, you know, the prayer where what do you do when you've got a huge task that you feel called to, but you don't have really any experience in it, and you don't have any materials or funds or anything else? How do you go about getting that done? Well, you pray, and that was that prayer there in chapter 1. Last week, we're in the prayer of while he's building the wall in chapter 4, and that was a prayer when you're in a situation where you're in God's will and you have tremendous oppression and reproach by the enemy. What do? Well, you pray through it as he did, and then you go to action. Well, today we have the prayer. Now the wall is completed, and we have the prayer as governor. This is the long prayer, the longest prayer in the Bible, I think, or if not the longest, is one of the longest. This and the dedicatory prayer of Solomon after the temple was built are seen to me to be the two longest prayers in the Bible. And this goes actually from a verse in chapter 9. It really goes from verse 5 all the way through verse 38. So it's almost, it's 34 verse prayer, really. But there's much to be learned here. What we have is just a great display of God's faithfulness. God is so faithful to the Jewish nation, and he's so faithful to us as well. So I just felt, let's just sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Again, a very familiar hymn, but let's sing it with understanding and reverence. Great is thy faithfulness.
As thou hast been the
Indeed, Lord, great is your faithfulness. We see here in that first verse, morning by morning, new mercies I see. And that is so true. And we'll see that in this prayer this morning in Nehemiah. Well, in chapter 9, we read, now on the 24th day of the month, this is the month following the completion of the wall. The wall was completed in 52 days on the 25th of the sixth month. And now we're in the seventh month at the 24th day. And we have had, since the completion of the wall, a time to pray and to worship. We implemented the Feast of Tabernacles once again, and the people were worshiping and praying. We then have there, as we begin chapter 9 here, on the 24th day of the month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dust on their heads. Then the Israelites stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers, and they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for 1/4 of the day. I believe that's a 12-hour day. So for 3 hours they stood and read the word. How would you like to do that? Wow. And then another 3 hours they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. So they've spent 6 hours now this day, 3 hours in prayer and 3 hours in praise and worship. Can you imagine the excitement that would be there and the power of the Spirit that would be there? Well, then their leaders, a number of them here, 7 or 8, they get up and they cry out with, they stood on the stairs of the Levites and cried out with a loud voice to the Lord. And now they have this long prayer. I believe this may be a compilation of the prayers. I don't know that it's necessarily Nehemiah's prayer by himself, because it says these various guys are standing out and cried out with a loud voice. But the prayer begins as follows. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. What a way to begin a prayer. That's great, great address, isn't it? Now they go into creation, verse 6, you alone are the Lord, you have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve, or hold together, as we read in Colossians 1, you preserve them all. The hosts of heaven worship you. The angels of heaven worship our God, don't they? Verse 7, you alone are God who chose Abram. So they're going all the way back historically now to the beginning of the nation, basically, when you chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham or Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it to his descendants. You have performed your words, for you are righteous. So, the very beginning, back to Grandpappy Abram. Now, we're going on into the time in Egypt. Verse 9, you saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heard their cry by the Red Sea. You showed signs and wonders against Pharaoh. Remember those 10 miracles? Against all his servants and against all the people of his land. For you knew that they acted proudly. The Egyptians acted proudly against them, against the Israelites. So you made a name for yourself as it is this day, and you divided the sea before them, the Red Sea crossing as we know. You divided the sea before them, and so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land. And the persecutors you threw into the deep as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the road which they should travel. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. You came down on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, your servant. You gave them bread from heaven for their hunger. Did you know it's been estimated that the amount of manna provided each day was approximately 9 million pounds or 4,500 tons per day? Isn't that amazing? and brought them water out of the rock for their thirst. The daily amount of water for that group there was estimated to be 11 million gallons a day. Can you imagine for 40 years providing that? Wow. And brought them water out of the rock for their thirst, as I mentioned, and told them to go in to possess the land which you had sworn to give them. Now we have a period from Numbers here, but, and here we have but, a change now. You're doing so well, but now we see the rebellion setting in as it just continues to have cycle in and out. But they and our fathers acted proudly, hardened their necks, that's three times in this prayer, and did not heed your commandments. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon. Oh, awesome. But, now we got a good one again. Back to God, because he's good. We're not, but he's good. But you are God, ready to pardon. Isn't that amazing? Gracious and merciful. Four times in this prayer referred to as gracious and merciful God. Slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. That's given to it three times, verse 17, 19, 31. So we see here greatness and wonder of our God. Oh, we have a good God, don't we? Now, verse 18, we see him going into idolatry. Even when they made a molded calf for themselves and said, this is your God that brought you up out of Egypt and worked great provocations. Yet you, in your manifold mercies, did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them light. And the way they should go, you also gave your good spirit to instruct them. And just think of that. They were given the Holy Spirit to instruct them, but how much more now does every child of God have than they had? Because since the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all believers to reside in us. We have the Holy Spirit with us all the time. He will never leave us nor forsake us. But in those days, the Spirit was not given to everybody, and it wasn't given to, I don't think, anybody forever. It was just given to them for a period of time. You also gave your good Spirit to instruct them, and did not withhold your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. Moreover, you gave them kingdoms and nations and divided them into districts. So they took possession of the land of Sahan, the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. You also multiplied their children as the stars of heaven and brought them into the land which you had told their fathers to go in and possess. So the people went in and possessed the land, and subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hand, with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they wished. And they took strong cities and a rich land, and possessed houses full of all goods, cisterns already dug, vineyards, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate and were filled and grew fat, and delighted themselves in your great goodness. Oh, it's going so well, but now we have a nevertheless. And I think these next couple of verses here are actually talking about judges. It may even go down a few more than a couple of verses. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you, cast your law behind their backs, and killed your prophets who testified against them, to turn them to yourself, that they worked And they worked great provocations. Therefore, you delivered them into the hand of their enemies, who oppressed them, and in the time of trouble, when they cried out to you, you heard from heaven. Isn't that awesome? He hears. You know, when Moses was called to deliver the children of Israel, God said, way back there in Exodus. I have seen, I have heard, and I will deliver. Talking about the children of Israel. And he hears you, and he will deliver you, right? You heard from heaven, according to your abundant mercies, you gave them deliverers who saved them from the hand of their enemies. Now here we have a but again in 28. But after they had rest, they again did evil before you. Therefore you left them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried out to you, you heard from heaven, and many times you delivered them according to your mercies, and testified against them back to your law. Yet they acted proudly and did not heed your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders, stiffened their necks, once again stiff-necked, and they would not hear. But now your goodness, God, is shown, verse 30, yet for many years you had patience with them and testified against them by your spirit and your prophets, yet they would not listen, therefore you gave them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for you are God, gracious and merciful. Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty and awesome God who keeps covenant and mercy, do not let all the trouble seem small before you that has come upon us, our kings and our princes, our priests and our prophets, our fathers, and on all your people, from the days of the kings of Assyria until this day. However, you are just in all that has befallen us, for you have dealt faithfully, but we have done wickedly. Neither our kings nor our princes, our priests nor our fathers, have kept your law, nor heeded your commandments and your testimonies, with which you testified against them. For they have not served you in their kingdom, or in the many good things that you gave them, or in the large and rich land which you set before them, nor did they turn from their wicked works. Here we are, servants, today, and the land which you gave to our fathers, to eat its fruit and its bounty, here we are, servants, in it, and it yields much increase to the kings you have set before us. Because of our sins, also they have dominion over our bodies and our cattle. At their pleasure, we are in great distress. And now we come to the end of the prayer. The last verse is really a contract, an agreement with the Lord. Verse 38, and because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. Our leaders, our Levites, and our priests seal it. So as it goes on to chapter 10, it has the names of those Levites and leaders who signed it. And the covenant was sealed, and they were to separate themselves from the people of the land, and they were to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, and to observe and to do all the commandments of the Lord, and his ordinances and his statutes. We would not give our daughters as wives to the people of the land, or take daughters for our sons. Awesome. Great covenant. But yet, they broke it. And we see over and over again in the Bible, when covenants are made, the meaning is so well-intentioned, but the follow-through doesn't seem to happen. I believe the message there is for us. God wants our obedience. He doesn't want promises necessarily. And I don't think it's good to make vows, because we far too often just break them. So here is the end of the prayer then, and they have worshiped the Lord, they have confessed their sin, and they have covenanted to keep his commandments. Father, as we have this opportunity this morning to pray, to intercede, lead us and guide us by your Spirit now as we go to prayer. And may we pray in accordance with your will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray.
All grace, O Lord. When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
Yes, Lord, how great you are, how awesome you are, merciful, wonderful, and we thank you, Lord. Thank you for meeting us here this morning. Bless each one who came, and Lord, as we would praise you and worship you this whole day, I pray, and be in prayer. May you lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit, and may you be glorified in our lives this day, in Jesus' name. Amen.